soundingthealarm.com. Warning, the events and issues of this broadcast are real and eternal.
This is Trevor Davis, sounding the alarm on January 21st, 2015. Today's message is about what the Lord is doing. It's a very important message because the Lord is active. He has a desire to accomplish in the earth, in our life, and it's to build His church, His assembly, His righteous people that have faith and repentance in Jesus Christ, holding forth the word of life, the gospel, in this dark, crooked generation. On the phone, I have Bill Ziegler, man of God, a brother in Christ that shares on this about the body of Christ, the true church versus the synagogue of Satan. Bill, are you there? Good morning.
Yes, and I'm ready to go.
Thank you, Bill, and I really appreciate your articles, and we're going to want people to hear and have an opportunity to look up what you've been sharing as the Lord's been giving you a lot of insight about the body of Christ and what is the body of Christ and what it is not. And we're going to start with some scriptures, what Jesus said. He said that he would be building his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. You know, he asked Peter, "Who do men say that I am?" And people had different guesses who Jesus was, how he was a prophet or he was Elijah or Jeremiah. But Jesus asked in Matthew 16:15, he said, Whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Well, right. Jesus is the Christ. He is the very living Son of God who came into the world to save us, to rescue us, to lay down his life, bearing in his own body our sins. And through him, he is the only way. He is the truth, the life. And no one can come to the Father except through him. And he has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Those are things, Bill, that the Lord has already done.
That's very true. I'd like to say something in regards to some things that you said just previous here. You was talking about the body of Christ, and then you mentioned also church. So we got to understand that there is a difference between being the body of Christ and being the church. We need to understand, and it would be a long, long, long teaching here if we went into what's the difference. But basically, the church is simply a building. The word church itself is just an old English Christian word that's what it means. It was called back then Kirk, K-I-R-K-C or C-I-R-K-E. It's an old word, and it just means building. So the body of Christ is different, though. The body of Christ is made up of spiritual stones. In the scriptures, it talks about we're spiritual stones built up into a living sanctuary. I believe that's in Corinthians right offhand. I can't think of where it's at, but it's in Corinthians. And so the church is just a congregation of people that go in and listen to some religious leader, usually called a pastor, priest, or whatever the religion they are, and they just give lip service to maybe something in Scripture or maybe something they want to talk about. But the life of the body of Christ is not shown through there. So anybody sitting in the building, if they're part of the body of Christ, they're going to be disturbed about it because, you know, everybody is part of the body of Christ. Everybody, it says we're all kings and priests unto the Lord, not just clergy, and clergy never did exist in the first century of the Christian faith. You know, the followers of Christ established something different later on, if we want to really look into it. And I do have a lot of articles, and we have a lot of, maybe not a lot of time to go through all that today, because it would take me 3 days to tell you about it. But men took it upon themselves they separated themselves from the world, and they called, you know, they were just those who were believers, but they began to say, well, what are we going to do with the rest of the world, and how are we going to try to get them to come to the Lord? So what happened was they began to try to get people to sit under them, and then it just kept growing, and it kept growing, and kept growing, and next thing you know, they had this monster on their hands, and it's an Antichrist system. It's a church system. It's a system of men, and if you have any doubt of whether it is or not, because most people that get on here and listen to this, they'll say, well, that guy's just a heathen, you know, he's a lunatic, and he's so far out, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm just telling you what happened, and if you look through church history, and I've got all, you know, documentation stuff to back up what I say also, but they took and sit people under them, and, you know, a lot of them had a lot of knowledge of God and stuff, but they begin to change it, and today it's become something even worse. I mean, it has become horror of horrors, and it's now called a business. Mm-hmm. Church is nothing more than a business, and it's there to do two things. One, to get as many people as they can to come to their business, to buy their products, sell their tapes, do all these other things, and, you know, Christ really gets left out, you know, because it's all about them. And we have Christians running around all over the place, you know, following these big names and going everywhere. They're making millions and millions of dollars, and Christ is left out. So we got to turn that around. And so I don't know where we can go from here today, but that's just basically, you know, some groundwork.
Well, right. You're pointing out that there's a religious system that has a scripting, and they have performers, that it's a business. And this is nothing different than what Jesus encountered when he came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. They did not receive him as one coming from the Father that was speaking the very words of God. They actually hated Jesus for that. And they conspired to kill him, to destroy him, is the language that the New Testament uses. You know, Jesus is the very glory of God revealed in the face of Jesus. And he didn't come doing his own will. He came speaking the words of the Father as directed by the Father, performing as the Father directed him through the Holy Spirit. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit without measure. And they hated him for the most part. I mean, that's why Jesus said, I'm going to take the kingdom from you, and it'll be given to others that will bear fruit. And he had called them like a hen would gather its brood, but they would not, Jesus said in Matthew 23, I believe it is. Jesus said that Jerusalem would be desolate until they would acknowledge him as the Lord and give him glory and say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. So Jesus one day took cords, and because he'd come to the temple, his father's house, and he saw how it was a business, and the money changers and the doves and all the sacrifices, it became a racket, and he was outraged, and he kicked over the tables, and the animals were scurrying, and he said, you've turned my father's house into a den of thieves. But it's true. And if you read about what Jesus said about Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, and the Herodians, it's identical to today's religious system. Like you called it the church. It's a physical building, like they had a temple that was made out of goodly stones, the Bible says.
That's
yes.
True.
But what Jesus is doing
is he's building an assembly of people that is are not made out of hands, that is are not stones, brick and mortar. It's spiritual. It's he dwells in people.
Living stones. Right. Yeah, living stones.
That's right. And that's what Peter said. You are lively stones. I'll read that scripture for you. And that's it's they're not physical stone. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Now, this is a very interesting text, Bill. 1 Peter 2:7 says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner.
And that's exactly right.
In a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. Very interesting. So these guys are builders. They're religious builders. They build. They're building something, but they reject the cornerstone. They want something else. Like you mentioned, Antichrist. They don't want Jesus as Lord. They have something else intended.
And that's what it is they changed from having that understanding of just what you talked about being living stones and going forth into the land. Jesus, when he came. And he began to, you got to realize, first of all, he was 30 years old. He was able to be called a rabbi. Because back then in the Jewish, this is going back into some history of how all this got started. But Jesus sit under all of these religious men for years and years since he was, like the time when his mom and dad were going back home and they couldn't find him, and they went back and they found him sitting in the synagogue, listening to all these self-righteous, self-promoting Jewish Pharisees and Sadducees and all of the leaders. And he couldn't really teach in there until you become of the age of 30. And the reason for that was this is an old teaching or old learning system, and it's that like the trades. You start out as just somebody that you the low life on the pole to begin to learn, and then you can become a journeyman, and later on you become a master. Now, if you notice, in the first part of Jesus' life, he was never called that. It was only until he got to the age of 30 years old, because that is when you were able to be called a master. And he had sit under all these people all that time, and he became a master. But the thing is, he presented not what they taught. He presented what God told him to teach. And that was... and now he was called a master. He was called a rabbi. He was called a teacher. That's what they called him. But he sat under the greatest of all masters, his father, and he learned of him. He prayed, and he didn't do anything except what the father told him to do. So now he was teaching everything that was totally contrary to what the Jewish system was teaching, which, had got out of hand and had just like the church today. The church today got out from under the system that God was building, in the early body of Christ, because the church is a whole different subject, and people need to distinguish that there is a difference between this thing we call church and the body of Christ, because we're the body of Christ. If we're believers in Christ, we are not part of a building, not a worldly building, not a bricks and hay it talks about, but it's like what you talked about. It's a spiritual kingdom built up. So we got to be careful that you know, we need to get out of that. And that's hard to do. I mean, to all the people out there that are sitting in churches and have sit there for 100 years, seems like, you know, and you don't get what you need to mature, because the system, just like the rabbis, they didn't mature anybody in the faith, but they had them all sitting under them. And the preachers, and they did the Catholics and the Protestants and all of them, they had men sitting under them, and they have today, to this day. It's just that some of us, like Trevor and I, and I know, several people that I talk to, on a semi-regular basis, and they believe the same way that we do. It's not something that, and to come out of that church and to come out of that system and, after you've tried to work in it and you finally discovered it don't work, it's hard, because people don't really know what it really means to be somebody that's part of the body of Christ. You know, you're a king, you're a priest. And the scriptures tell us that. You can look and, believers, they're kings and priests. We're part of the royal priesthood of God, all believers. So why are you just sitting on your duff in, a building somewhere, listening to somebody bloviate about something you probably don't know much about, or stole somebody else's teaching, in the crowd, they get all excited, and here's this great man of God, and we try to make them to be God as a substitute instead of going to God and sitting at his feet and listening for his voice, listening for his commands. And I had several people say, well, yeah, but, God don't speak to us anymore. I said, well, brother, I said, I don't know. Maybe God don't speak to you, but he does to me. I says, the only thing I discovered is sometimes in our prayer life, especially I come out of the Pentecostal section, and we're always blah, 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 on. We're just telling God what to do in our prayers, and God's trying to tell us what to do. So unless we shut up and be quiet and listen to that still, smart, small voice of God, we'll never be the body of Christ. We're just going to be a building with people sitting in it that spiritually they're going to remain dead. It's sad, Trevor. It really is sad.
It is sad, and I noticed what Jesus said was, come unto me, learn of me, seek me. He never said go to a church or seek a pastor or seek a man. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my
yoke.
Yes.
Amen and amen and amen, Trevor.
He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus, he sacrificed his own blood. I mean, we're bought with a price by the precious blood of Jesus. He owns us, Bill. And
right.
And he's our Lord. He's our master. And Jesus said in Matthew 23, I want to read this, verses 8 through 10. He said he was chiding the religious system from one thing after another. And you'll see so much of the Gospels showing this, because he wants us to understand the perversity of religion. But he said in Matthew 23, verse 8, be ye not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brethren.
That's right.
And he said, verse 9, call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Verse 10, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. The way of the kingdom of God is opposite the way of the kingdom of the world. But you'll see the church system, same way that was in Israel and Judah, Jerusalem, as in the religious world, the institutions and denominations, the sects, the schisms, They're the same. They're identical. They violate the words of Jesus. They set themselves up as masters over the Lord instead of the Lord, and they want titles and on and on and on. And I believe, Bill, that it's up to people to make a decision. Are they going to follow Jesus, come unto him, learn of him? Will they take his yoke upon them, or are they going to take the yoke of religion?
And that's exactly right. And that's the problem. It's just why don't people get it? Why don't people, the problem is they're just, they don't come out from among them and be a separated people unto God, because God is our, Christ, like Trevor said, he is the master. And we just got to seem to, I know where it comes from and what it is, and that's part of it. It's because of this, especially in this country. We have a spirit here in this country of entertainment. I mean, you go to football games, basketball games, this game, that game, this movie, that movie, everything in the world, but you don't ever get to the place where you sit at Jesus' feet. But it is, it's that spirit of entertainment. And it's a spirit that is just really, it just tore up the whole church, to be honest with you. So we've got to decide, are we going to just be entertainment people? Listening to what's going on in the stage, with all of our music and all this stuff. And I think even some of this music, Christian, so-called Christian music, is not Christian music. It's just, sounds to me like years and years and years ago, I used to go to some of the rock concerts and all that stuff back in the 60s. I'm a little older. And, to me it was, wow, it's a great, And that was fine back then because I didn't know the Lord. But the problem is today is, we still want to do entertainment in the churches. They see that draws crowds. I mean, you can see that this because they'll have a big name speaker coming in. But the first thing they do, they have to have their entertainment, which they call today in the modern church, not in all of them, but in the church, not necessarily the old guard churches, but you go in there and you got to have praise and worship. What are they praising and worshiping? Jumping up, down, screaming and hollering, and you're getting emotional. And that's what I come out of, because I was Pentecostal, but we didn't sing the songs like they sing today in these places. But it's just something that draws them. If you've ever been to a rock concert, the same thing happens. What happens at a rock concert is the same thing that happens in church services today. You say, well, what is that? Well, when the music starts and everybody, the main thing gets going and everything, everybody's getting all emotional, listening to the music, and, we rah, 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 sis, boom, bah, and we do this for 2-3 hours, and then all of a sudden the music stops, and, at one place I had went to see Elvis, and at the end of the concert they says, Elvis has departed the building. Well, it's the same thing with the church. I'm just telling you now, if we need to say that this is the end of the concert, and the building we were sitting in being entertained is the church, and that's the building, and guess what? Jesus has left the building. So, we need to get back to what Jesus did. He didn't go to a rock concert. He didn't go and strike up the band and do this and gather everybody around, all that. He told him to watch, and he went off and he went to pray to the Father, and he sought a word from God. He sought something from the heavenlies, And today we don't do that. We go seeking something from somewhere else. And it's nothing. It's nothing but witchcraft. You know, you need to watch out about it. There's a lot of good sites on the internet that you can go look at. I wish I had that list of them here with me right in front of me, but I don't. But there's a lot of sites that understand that all this stuff is wrong, and it's causing a lot of confusion. It's causing chaos. And then we got not only that and just entertainment, but we got Bibles. How many translations do we need of the Bible before we get it right? And the reason we can't get it right, it's still not right, because the word church, everywhere the word church is, like, for instance, the seven churches in Asia in Revelations, all that word is, it just means building. So the original word is ekklesia, and it means the congregation or assembly of. It's talking about people, you know.
Yes.
All of those who are believers, you know, to the believers. He's writing to the believers, those who are God's people. He's not writing to a building, you know. So you just take a little something and just write, you know, scratch church out and just know that the people, the body of Christ, he's talking about those who are his. It has nothing to do with, you know, the building that is in, you know, whatever one of those cities are, you know, in Revelation.
Yes.
Not talking about the cities. It's talking about the people that reside in that city as believers. And we need to get our thinking straight. You know, our stinking thinking's what kills us. It's going to cause us to go to hell if we don't listen. It's going to cause us to miss God. When we get up there in heaven and, you know, we don't want to be the one that goes up, well, here I am, Lord, you know, I'm ready to come in. And he's going to look at you and he's going to say, sorry, I don't know you. Depart from me. And then what's going to happen? Another thing, too, if you're in Christ and you've told somebody about the things that they're doing in the world wrong, or they're sinning in the world, and you bring things to their attention, and especially if you're bringing things to the attention of those sitting in that building, the church house, when you're trying to talk to them. I mean, I've had people I've known for years, and you try to show them the truth and stuff, and they just say, I don't want to hear all that. I don't want to hear all that. I said, well, it's the truth. Yeah, but I still don't want to hear it. I think, what are they going to do when they're standing up there before the Lord? And the Lord says, well, this brother down there on earth was trying to tell you and explain to you what happened, and you said you didn't want to hear it. So, depart from me, O ye worker of iniquity. You know, what can we say? And we don't do anything. You know, we're supposed to be doing the works of Christ. How can we do that? We can't do it within ourselves, but we can take and have, if Christ is in us, which is our hope of glory, and we begin to be a walking a person that's, the Lord can walk in your body. He can walk in your body. Everywhere you go, you can go in the supermarket, you can go, it doesn't matter where you're going. There's people there that need to hear the message of God. And, you know, I just want to give one example, because this is what we should be doing and we're not. And people say, I'm just crazy. You know, nobody does that. And they're right. Most people don't. And that is, I walked into a sporting goods store and my wife was with me, and I got what I needed, and I went up to the cash register, and this lady was up there, you know, and I said, well, hi, how are you today? She says, well, I'm doing just fine. And I said, oh, no, because there was just something that quickened in my spirit. And I opened my mouth, and I says, no, you're not. I says, you're going through hell backwards, and I want you to know that whatever you're going through, God is there, and he's going to see you through it. I says, because you've been praying for an answer, and this is your answer. The Lord himself wants you to know that he's going to make that way straight for you. She started crying in the store. Now, here she's supposed to be checking me out. And I've been there giving her a word of the Lord. And I kind of looked back, and there was a line of people behind me that all their mouths were open.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here? And then I says, okay. And I don't remember what all I told her after that, but it wasn't much more. And I says, just know that starting this day, it's going to change. And you're going to, you know, whatever it was I told her. But, you know, we got to be available, you know, because we're a body. We're not just a structure. We're not just something that doesn't ever go anywhere. What did they do? Jesus went out, and he went everywhere. Everywhere. And he took his disciples and says, you know, just before he left, he says, and go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel. That is, preach means proclaim the good news of what you've just seen. And they don't do that. They go want to sit on a pew and let somebody else do the work. And they, I guess they expect that the preacher is the one that's speaking the oracles of God. And they're not. I just flat not, Trevor. And so we've got to do those things. We've got to, you know, just like he says, I come as a light to the world. Whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. He says, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you. Abide in me and all in you. Mm-hmm. You know, he's told us he would. As the branch can't bear fruit of itself, except it abides in a vine. So no more can you except if you abide in me. See, because he was a vine. And he says, this is in John chapter 15, I'm the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You can't do anything for sure if you just go sit in a church and listen to somebody. It ain't going to happen. And it says also, if verse 6 of that chapter says, if a man also does not abide in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast him into the fire and they're burnt. Wow.
Yeah.
You abide in me and my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. If you're abiding in Christ, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in him. In Corinthians, some of those scriptures I was wanting to find, Paul says, brothers, let every man wherein he is called therein abide in God, not abide in the church, not abide in the building, you know, because he also said, I can do all fine things through him, Paul says in Philippians, who strengthens me. It's him, Paul of all people, when he's seen Christ and he persecuted and there's there at the stoning of Stephen, he finally saw what was going on. And then, you know, we got to understand, says, let that, this is in 1 John 2:24. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. You know, but the anointing which you have received of him, it abides in you, and you will not need any man to teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you all things that is truth and is no lie, and even it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Now here we go. You know, it's telling us, you know, if we're doing that, there should not be any division among branches. The branches, they're very much like a religious institution of churches, but they're started by mortal men with carnal minds. So his branches are unlike those branches. The branches that come from the spiritual kingdom of God, they'll be established. But the ones that the religious institutions of the church have, they're going to be thrown in the fire. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we shall have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You know, it just goes, it gives, you know, 1 John, there's some more scriptures. You know, especially where he says, keep his he that keeps his commandments dwells in him, and him and he. Therefore, we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Now, that's what the body of Christ is. thing called church. I don't even want to talk about that. Unholy, ungodly abomination. And I'm firmly one of those that believe, and most of the reformers believed it at the time, believe that in Revelations, where it was talking about Mystery Babylon, you know, the mother of harlots. Mystery Babylon was a Catholic church, and the Reformation churches were the harlot daughters. And that's how it come about. I mean, and that's what happened. And the reformers saw this. The only problem was, is not too long down the line that they had an understanding of this, they just went off the track and they did not obey what the word of the Lord was. They did what the word that they think needed to be taught. And who are we? You know, we cannot be a teacher unless the teacher is teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we're flapping our gums don't mean we're a teacher. You know, we have got to be committed, and the Lord Jesus Christ has got to come through. I don't know why I said all that. Maybe there's somebody out there that really needs that. You know, because I could sit here and quote scriptures for, you know, days probably about all this. But, you know, one last one that I do want to do, and that's Matthew 16:24-27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, and he didn't say nothing about church, he said, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. And what are you going to benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man, this is what Jesus said. I didn't say this. For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. So, you know, I don't know. I just don't get it. You know, why we just can't see this, except we've been sitting in the synagogue too long. We're so used to all these preachers, and we love to be entertained because, you know, a lot of churches, they'll even not have church sometimes so they can go watch the Super Bowl game or, you know, or some national event or something. So, you know, we better really sit down and repent, go to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, you know, repent and just let him, you know, be quiet. Don't tell him what to do. I see people out there all the time, even in McDonald's, we got this lady. And she means well, but she comes in there, she dances around, you know, praying and speaking. And the scripture came to me, and I went up and I told her, because I'd known her for a while, and I says, don't cast your pearls before swine, because that's the word that the Lord gave me to give her.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord told me she's not going to receive it right away. But she stopped doing it after about a month, and she understands. You know, but she didn't want to, but I knew that she would hear from the Lord. I didn't have to chastise her. I just spoke something from the Lord. And, you know, that's what we got to do. How can you get anybody, you know, you can't just drag people to church and say, oh, you got to come to my church. It's bigger, it's better. Oh, you just don't believe all the things we got here, you know. And, you know, then you find out when you get there, the Bible's preaching out of some Bible that you're not used to or this and that. Now, you know, I'm not that way because I got every Bible that's ever been published. So, you know, I find all of them, you know, but I can't drag all that to church and see it, you know. And if you're of the Lord and you're in the Lord, you'll be able to discern these things. And that's what we need to do, is we need to get on those things, because Trevor, this is the last days, and God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, we're going to reap. And if you haven't sown nothing, you're not going to reap anything. So how can you get in heaven if you haven't sown any seed? The seed is the Word of God. If you haven't sown the Word of God into people's lives to where they can, you know, and they're not born again, if they're not born of the seed, which is, Scripture says, is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. All flesh is like grass in all its glory, like the flower of grass. The grass withers and falls off, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. And that's the Word which was preached to you. That was Peter.
Mm.
So, Christ, or are we going to follow the Lord? And we've got to convince people somehow. We've got to get out and say, well, I heard this lunatic the other day on Trevor's sounding the alarm, and, you know, he just wasn't for church at all. And no, I'm not, because it's killing people. Oh, no, people are coming alive in Christ. Yeah, but you don't let them. And if you do, you abort them once they're born. You know, it's like an abortion clinic. You know, and that sounds awful, calling the church an abortion clinic. But it aborts its young. It aborts those that's young. You're supposed to mature those in Christ. And if God has put somebody in your path to mature in Christ, don't take them to church. You walk with them and let them walk with you. And what you do should be what they need to have. And they'll see it if it's real. If it's not, they'll see that too. I'm sorry I took so long, but that's just, I felt that's important.
It is important. So you have the religious system, just as we had the religious system in Jesus' day and throughout the prophets that dealt with ancient Israel and Judah. And those things, their corruption, was written for our admonition and learning. And it's so sad to say that over 2,000 years, as Christ has come, the Holy Spirit has come, the scriptures have come for us to walk with Jesus. It's so sad that the religious systems have fallen step in step with corruption. And Jesus warned, he said, beware of men, beware of the teaching, beware of the hypocrisy, beware of it. Take heed that no one deceive you. And we need to have Jesus as our Lord, as our master. He's our teacher. He is our all in all. And through the Holy Spirit, and as we make him the head, not an antichrist, not replacing him with apostles and prophets and shepherds and teachers or gurus or masters, but we make truly Jesus our Lord and our shepherd, there will be an assembly of people in our city that love him, that are seeking him, that are eating the hidden manna, that are waiting at his gate to have his word, that are living by the living word of God that proceeds out of his mouth. Those are the people that we want to assemble with, be the assembly of the righteous by faith, not the assembly of the wicked, the terrors of the devil or of man. Paul was saying that he was a wise master builder. He'd been taught personally by Jesus. You know, Paul was a Pharisee. And he was actually killing Christians before he met Jesus. And Jesus appeared to him, the glorified Lord. And Paul said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. But he had a calling for him, an election by grace. And Paul was taught by Jesus the gospel and what to do and how to serve the Lord. And Paul made it very clear that there were men that were schisms. You know, some were following Cephas, some were following Apollos. And some were following Paul, and he said, is Christ divided? No, there's one body of Christ, one faith, one doctrine, one baptism. So you have to make a decision. You've been in the church world. It's time to make Jesus your Lord. No Pope, no masters other than Jesus. You can't have two masters, Bill. You can't be walking in two kingdoms, the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. You have to make a decision. So God is building his people. He's our Lord. It's time to follow him.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You couldn't have said it any better. You know, and we need to ask ourselves, who's going to enter the kingdom of God as disciples of Christ? And, you know, the Lord says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. And then many shall say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we... You know, these are all these religious people. Did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me who practice lawlessness. And to be a disciple, though, it's going to cost something. Also in the same area, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels and repay every man according to his deeds. And unless you know what the keys to the kingdom of God, Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, you know, when he first started out, and he talked about the kingdom of God has come along beside the kingdoms of the earth. And he said in Matthew again, 16:19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whosoever shall bind on earth, whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So if we're out there, if we're truly binding the evil in this world, that's fine. But if we're out there stirring up stuff and, you know, trying to build our own kingdom, because that's all these pastors are doing today. They're trying to build up their kingdom to bring as many people as they can to their house, because it's their house. And if you don't believe that, just go up and ask them, you know, well, whose house is that? Well, I'm the pastor, you know. And man, I mean, I quit serving the Lord years and years ago for a time, because I couldn't understand, you know. I was asking spiritual things and spiritual questions, and they just, well, you know, and doing things like I talked about that lady. Another time I went to some friend's house and took them some food and stuff. I didn't know, you know, anything, you know, about it, their situation. But when I got there, I pulled up and a friend of mine come out and he says, oh, come over, huh? And I said, yeah. I says, I come over here to eat with you. And I could see it been crying. And I asked him, I said, well, Curly, what's the matter? And he said, well, you come to the wrong place. I said, why? And he said, we don't have any food in the house. See, but God told me when I was at the Air Force base where I was stationed at the time to go to the commissary and you know, hey, I don't have any place to put this food if I'm going there. But I just took off my car and I said, okay, where am I going? And I went to his house. And his wife come out. She started screaming and praising the Lord and crying and, you know. But see, you have to be obedient, and you have to let the Lord lead you.
Mm-hmm.
He's not leading you and you're going around trying to tell him where to go, you know. You're not one of his people. I don't care if you've been to church for, you know, 85 years. And if you just sit there and you've never done the works of God that he's called you to do, and you've never done them because you're too lazy to get up off your stool of nothing, you know, your stool of blessed assurance or whatever, you know, you're not gonna be there because you didn't do. Somebody else will have to pick up the load, or people will have to suffer, you know, because you did not go and tell them. And I saw that down when I went to the streets. I ministered on the streets, and I mean, I seen things that was just tremendous happen down there, you know. And I could go on for an hour talking about those people down there. But see, God sends people out. He doesn't send people in. He sends people out to go minister to those on the street, in the marketplace. You know, that's what he told us to do, go into the marketplace, go where everybody's at. And then God can use you. Oh, well, God can't use me. I just, you're right. You said it. That's your confession. God can't use me. And he won't, because you said so. So you need to change, you know, if you're one of those confess it, blab it, and grab it people, you need to start changing your confession, you know, when you have a, you know, you got a snot running out of your nose and a fever and everything else, and, you know, and you're sitting there confessing, I'm not sick, and you are, you know, how can God heal you? You know, you just told him, I'm just fine, you know, like I am, so leave me alone. There's a lot of things we need to change. We need to get a hold of things. And Trevor, these are the last days, just like you said. And if we don't do it, woe be unto us. And I'm not one of those that's going to just sit back and say, oh, well, I'll just, you know, I'm just going to quit now. I'm getting up there in age. I've served my time. know I've served my time when I take my last breath, and I hope to God if I'm laying in the hospital or laying somewhere, that I'm looking up at him and say, do you know Jesus? That's the way I want to end my life.
Yes.
So,
you know,
I don't know.
Bill, speaking about these last days, God is acting, and he will perform his word and fulfill his word absolutely to the T. And in Daniel chapter 12, what it talks about the last days, I want to read from verse 2 in just a few verses. And it speaks as, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. In verse 10, it says, and many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. See, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord's going to purify you and try you and make you white through the blood of Jesus Christ. And as you abide in him and walk with Jesus, the very life of Jesus will be exalted through your life and will call people to repentance. But the wicked people will never get it. They'll never understand. They'll sit on their pews. They'll sit in wickedness and living the life of religious hypocrisy to their condemnation. But the Lord would not have you go that route. Follow the Lord Jesus. Go to him. Take his yoke upon you. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will fulfill your calling absolutely to his glory. And we hope you've heard this thing and this message today, and ponder it, consider it, and follow the Lord in living it out. God bless you. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, and I just pray that everybody that's out there that's heard this thing, look to the Lord. He is your salvation. He is the one, and he is. There's somebody out there, even today, I believe, that has heard this, and they say, wow, I've never heard anything like that before. Well, that's because you're sitting where you're at or something, you know, but or not sitting even. But trust God. He will bring you through with whatever it is that you need in your life. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Bill. And Bill, we've written many exhortations, and these are scriptures that you've laid out that for people just to read and let the Holy Spirit show you the picture of the true called out people. Can you give your website, please?
Yes, it's www.calledoutnow. It's just one word, calledoutnow.wordpress.com. Just one more time, www.calledoutnow.wordpress.com. And they'll challenge you. They'll challenge everything that you thought you knew about church. But that's why God put me there to do that. And, you know, I used to worry, Lord, I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I said, well, I didn't either, but they killed me for it. You know, it's like he was saying, and, you know, if they kill me, don't you think they might want to kill you too? So, you know, I have to do what the Lord says and not worry about it. You know, it's up to them to hear the Spirit of the Lord. So I'm just glad that I was able to be with you today, Trevor, and God bless everybody out there, and go with God.
Amen. Thank you, Bill.